The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi Canada, Hugh Hewitt live on the West Coast. It's early, but I'm glad to be welcoming you to the weekend. It's Friday. And I know that if you are an average American household, you are paying $276 more a month than you did last year at this time when Joe Biden was just taking over. He's had 1 year in office, and your average monthly cost for food, utilities, gas, car payment, rent, has gone up $276 a month. $276 a month. That's the story. 1-800-520-1234. Open those phones up, Ben. If inflation has taken a bite out of your life, I want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1234. First, a rundown of the news this morning. Washington Post. NBC's Olympics ratings are terrible. That doesn't mean the games are dying. No, it means that the NBC genocide games are dying because people don't want to watch a minute of it. We know the regime. We know it is a genocidal, freedom-crushing, poison-releasing, recklessly aggressive regime, and the Chinese Communist Party have turned that way decisively in the last 10 years, and we want nothing of it. And Americans are just not watching these numbers. My gosh, more people are listening right now than are watching the Olympics at any time today. Terrible. Somebody's losing their shirt, because when sponsors buy a bunch of it, no one wants to be a sponsor of genocide, by the way. I don't know. I haven't seen a single Olympic ad anywhere on my, I don't watch a lot of television. I'm certainly not watching the games, but I keep looking for pop-up ads because I'm online a lot, and don't see any for the genocide games. No. Russia and Ukraine talks falter as scope for diplomatic solution narrows. That's the Wall Street Journal headline. That means looks like a war this weekend. U.S. military plans to help evacuating Americans once they cross into Poland. So you're on your own, Americans. This is the Joe Biden administration. Get out while you can, because we're going to leave you behind. Big, long review. I'll talk about this with Sonny Bunch in Reuters about Hollywood's China tragedy, how it collapsed, how it's lost it. It tried to get the Chinese market and ended up censoring itself. And then the inflation stories, they just keep coming. This from the Financial Times. Inflation is up, it matters. High prices plague the Biden presidency. Look. The Biden presidency is going to be defined by inflation at home, appeasement abroad, teachers unions first. That's the bumper sticker. Somebody make a T-shirt. Inflation at home, appeasement abroad, teachers unions first. That's the Joe Biden presidency. That's all there is to it. That's all you have to remember. Inflation at home, appeasement abroad, teachers unions first. That's it. That's what you got. You don't get a rebate for 3 years. You don't get to throw them. You get to throw every Democrat out. High inflation is probably costing you $276 a month. In fact, this is the first exchange I had with Brett Baer on Special Report last night. So let's talk about it. Cut number 25.
Hugh, it's hard to kind of pinpoint the political peril here with inflation, but you can start to see the administration seeing the writing on the wall as people deal with these higher prices.
It's a cliff, Brett. $276 a month. The Wall Street Journal reported that this morning based on a Moody Analytics study. And if you think about the average American family coming up with an additional $276 a month for food, utilities, rent, car payment, the stuff that they just need to buy, they look at the Biden first year and they say that was a disaster. Who can change this? And they will vote red. They will vote Republican come November, because you cannot put a 7.5% tax on everyone in the United States and expect them to applaud what you're doing. I was working with Dr. Bill Bennett last night, Brett Baer, of course, hosting the panel, and Harold Ford Jr., the third panelist. But it was great to hear Bill growl out, this is the worst first year of a presidency. I got a call after it. Did he forget Lincoln? But of course, he's talking about modern presidency. Cut number 26.
the worst first year of a president in American history. Bill.
I believe it.
Hugh, you believe it?
Yeah, it's getting to the point where even 538, the Democratic-leaning analyst, says the lowest approval rating is now tied down where President Trump was after 1 year. But President Trump had strong supporters, at least after 1 year. The new poll out today shows that 56% of Americans, 56%, cannot name one thing they approve of Joe Biden doing in the first year. My gosh, you got a puppy. He at least got a puppy. Give him that credit. It was a terrible year for Biden.
Now, Brett corrected me because it was the graphic that CNN put out said 56% of Americans can't think of a single thing but President Biden has done. Turns out CNN put up a bad graphic of their own poll. That's 56% of the people who are disapproving of the president. So he's got historic low numbers across the board as 538 analyzed, but only he doesn't have 56%. He's got 56% of the 60% of the people who don't like him. Can't remember a thing that's good about him. Then, believe it or not, we got to talking about the fact that Donald Trump took some classified documents to Mar-a-Lago. I assure you this happens with every president, but nevertheless, the left is doing anything to divert from $276 a month. So that came up, and Bennett was right again. Bill's always right. You know, I used to listen to Bill. I used to put Bill to bed. He used to say my afternoon show was his bedtime reading. And so it was great to be on TV with him. When I'm going over and doing Fox now, lets me work with people I haven't seen in years on TV. But I got to respond to Bennett on that. Cut 27.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, obviously they did pull 15 boxes from Mar-a-Lago. We don't, again, know about the toilet and the papers, 100%. But quickly.
100% correct that they're down there, 100% sure that no one in America outside of the progressive hard left cares.
I mean, nobody cares. Nobody cares about the documents. They care about $276 a year. They care about the fact that more Americans are going to be abandoned by Joe Biden in Ukraine. They care about the fact that teachers unions are running the show. New York Times, how Republicans saw inflation coming. No, they didn't. Everybody saw inflation coming except Joe Biden. Rapid inflation stokes unease from Wall Street to Washington, according to the New York Times. That's what markets told us. And I'll get to the other stories first. I want to get a few calls first. Norm in Canada. Hey, Norm, how are your truckers?
Hey, Hugh. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah, hoser. What's up?
Hugh, I just, being retired, like, we're joined at the hip, you know that, they Canada and the U.S., and, like, I have to kind of rely on you guys because I don't have much left here to rely on. But
you got Justin. What's wrong with Justin Trudeau? Isn't he the most charismatic leader in the world?
Justin Trudeau, he needs to listen to the people, for one, and that'll prove to me that at least he's learning. But right now...
Wait a minute. I got in-laws now. Russ and Aaron are my in-laws, and though they just became American citizens this year... they're Canadian and Irish, respectively, and they lived in Canada forever. And my daughter-in-law is Canadian-American. So all the Canadians I know don't think Justin Trudeau is doing a thing.
No, he's not. He's not. But I'm saying everybody can learn. I'm thoroughly disappointed in him, but I haven't got much of a choice since Harris is gone. So all I can say is that if the little demigod wants to use a little bit of intelligence, he'll go out and talk to these people because they're right.
He should do a Nixon to the Lincoln Memorial moment, which is go out and hang with the truckers. But I don't think Justin Trudeau is that kind of guy.
No, he's not. Hugh, I got to tell you something, Hugh. Like, I'm one of those guys that kept the lights on, repaired the trucks, kept industry running. I was a millwright my whole life. And I got to tell you, like, children, like, they need to understand it takes a lot of intelligence to do that.
Oh, my gosh. I wish that we just had a couple of words for the middle class in America and Canada from the president. I'm sorry that I've blown it. I'm sorry that I thought I was doing a good idea, but I guess $4 trillion isn't a good idea. I got to take another call from way up near. Actually, Michigan is Canada. So I'm going to go to Michigan and talk with Stuart, if you're in Michigan, you're almost a Canadian. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning. Good morning. And I'm in the auto industry, and I am feeling the effect already of the bridge shutting down from Windsor. But what I wanted to talk about was inflation. I'm scared. And the reason I'm scared is my wife and I are in our 60s. we would like to determine when to retire. We have a certain size nest egg. We're trying to project, will it last? And now I have no idea.
But well, you can't. Jimmy Carter destroyed the retirements of millions. Joe Biden is destroying the retirements of millions. You got a Social Security bump of 4% last year in December, and then we find 7.5% rise. So you went backwards. Every senior in America went backwards by 3% last year. Every senior in America, in terms of what they have to pay to stay alive. So I think they're going to vote in the fall. I think Democrats had better quit. I think every Democratic member of the House should run away like the brave Sir Robin. Get the heck out of Dodge. I'll be right back on the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show.
My favorite things, and then I don't.
Welcome back, America. I was charmed by the fact that Kurt Schlichter begins every Friday by listening to The Sound of Music. So I'm doing the same thing as a homage to Kurt's musical taste. It's also appropriate because it's a big movie song, right? Big movie, and it's a big movie day. Sonny Bunch, the resident critic of the film business on The Hugh Hewitt Show, joins us. Rolling in airline miles because the Oscars are out, so he's been double doing his work this week. Sonny Bunch, good morning. What say you about the Oscar nominations?
You know what I want to know about the Oscars? The thing I want to know about the Oscars is which of the nominees is not vaccinated, and which of the nominees are vaccinated? Because there was a mild controversy earlier this week when the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences announced that you did not need to be vaccinated to attend the in-person event. And the only reason that they would do something like that is if a significant number of significant nominees, like I don't really think they care if, you know, the person in costuming or sound mixing or whatever wasn't going to show up. But if like Will Smith wasn't going to be allowed to come, or, you know, somebody of that caliber was not allowed to come because of vaccination issues, it would have been a real.
They're asking their host. Do they have a host?
They have not announced the host yet.
My phone hasn't rung. No one's called me to offer me a Super Bowl ticket yet or to invite me to host the Oscars. I'm still waiting, though. Sonny, I got a non-film question for you. Growing out of dinner I had last night with two, we had a great dinner of eight people down in Newport, and the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt is gone. So I'm sitting there. I'm trying not to dominate the conversation and talk endlessly. So I'm sitting with two of America's great captains of scientific industry, both guys and their spouses involved in building giant companies devoted to science. They're all Republicans. When did we lose our mind about science? I mean, when did the anti-vax booster suspicion get going? What is that? You're an observer of American society. Where did that come from? Zombie apocalypse?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I like that. That's a question beyond my scope. That's a question beyond my scope.
Has anti-science been treated in film anywhere?
Well, you mentioned zombie apocalypse. It was funny. There's the movie 28 Days Later. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I like that too.
That movie opens with a PETA-style organization, you know, breaking into a chimp testing facility and releasing all of the animals there, and that's what starts the zombie apocalypse. That's what actually kicks it all off. I don't know. I mean, you know, the industry likes to treat science as a miracle of sorts. I mean, if you look at the Marvel movies, right, they're all predicated on
Tony Stark.
Essentially fantastic. Essentially magical technology, being able to save us from our problems.
Wakanda. Yeah, you're right. Hadn't thought about that. Wakanda saves us with that funny metal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that the movies like technology in the sense that it serves as a easy out when you have a screenplay problem. Let's put it that way.
Well, Sonny, this is my big premise. I understand the lore is that Clark Gable is not wearing an undershirt on It Happened One Night, and that killed the undershirt business. Did some set of movies come out that make Americans, you know, 10 to 15% of them, think that scientists are lying to them all the time? Is there something in the water?
Uh, I don't know. I mean, again, I haven't really thought about this, so I'm not sure off the top of my head. I mean,
all right, that's your homework, because you know movies. I would like to know if something got in the water because of movies. What about the Oscars?
You could look at like China Syndrome, right, and stuff, and movies like that scared people from nuclear power, or
well, that did. That actually did. Chernobyl didn't help either, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Fukushima. There's definitely, and scientists, you know, can be figures of authority, and figures of authority are always looked upon skeptically in the world of film. I mean, like, for example, the movie Moonfall, I mentioned last week that was coming out. I was able to see it this week, and one of the subplots of the film is that, you know, NASA scientists are essentially lying to the American people about extraterrestrial life, and this is a running theme throughout Roland Emmerich's body of work, is that people are lying to you. The government, people in the government are lying to you, that people are, you know, trying to hold the truth from you. And so there is a healthy skepticism of not just scientists, I would say not only scientists, but all figures of authority and that sort of film.
Richard Hofstadter's famous book on the paranoid impulse in America apparently has a place in Hollywood. What about the Oscars, Sonny? Because there's nothing for me to see this weekend except Sundown. So tell me about the Oscars.
What about Death on the Nile?
The Fetching Mrs. Hewitt is out of town until Sunday, so I can't see it until next week.
Oh, that's fair. The Oscars. It's an interesting mix of films. I mean, if you look at the Best Picture nominees, interestingly, I would say that it's actually a weirdly popular list of nominees, led by Don't Look Up. You know, Don't Look Up is speaking of not trusting scientists, this is a movie about how we need to trust the science. But that movie is on Netflix. It's the global warming as climate change parable, right? That is the second most popular movie in the history of Netflix, which means it's been seen by lots and lots of people. You know, so when people talk about like, oh, well, then the Oscars don't nominate movies people they haven't seen. They didn't nominate Spider-Man No Way Home. Well, you know, Don't Look Up is a very, very popular movie. Dune did very well. Licorice Pizza, you know, a lot of these movies are smaller, though, still. You know, Licorice Pizza, Belfast, and...
Well, the dog movie with Benedict did pretty good.
Power of the Dog, right. That's another Netflix one. And that one is probably the favorite to win it all at the Oscars this year. It has 12 nominations. It seems to be very popular. People love Jane Campion, the director. She got a nod for Best Director. I think she is pretty much a shoo-in.
Think they're going to put that back in theaters? Should we wait for that to go back to theaters?
I don't know that it will be put back in theaters. I'm not 100% sure on that.
I went looking for it because I wanted to see it.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, with Benedict in it, I wanted to go see it on a big screen if it was a big screen movie, but I don't need to. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, I didn't, and 99% of people who end up seeing it will not. So, you know, I think you're probably fine.
All right.
In Best Actor, I mentioned Will Smith because I think he's pretty much, again, a shoe-in, an actor in a leading role. Yeah, he got nominated for King Richard. I think he'll do. He'll wind up winning there. It's a fairly soft category, all told. Actor in a supporting role from your favorite movie, Belfast. Kieran Hines got an
nomination.
Excellent. I was glad to see that.
Excellent.
But I don't. I honestly, this is one category where I don't know. I have no idea who's going to win. It's a category I think Cody Smith McPhee might have won for Power of the Dog, but there are two actors from Power of the Dog nominated, so maybe
that's
they're going
to.
Split votes? I don't know.
Well, there. I do have one question about Sundown. I'm going to Sundown on the basis of the Tim Roth trailer, which is a very good trailer. And I haven't gone to a movie on the basis of a trailer on Twitter ever until I saw this trailer. What do you think about this movie? Do you know anything about it yet?
I have only seen the trailer myself. It looks interesting.
Doesn't it?
So I don't have any strong thoughts because I haven't seen it.
So what did you go and see Death on the Nile?
I did see Death on the Nile. It's uh, it, it Did you like the Kenneth Branagh Murder on the Orient?
Very much. Very much.
Yeah. If you like that, you'll probably like this. I mean, there's weird. It opens with a very weird, almost vignette that gives us the origin story of his fancy mustache. I question this choice because I think I don't think we really need the backstory of Hercule Poirot that much. I don't think that's a thing we really need. We want to watch the murder mystery get solved, right?
Right.
And it is a fairly effective murder mystery. Now look, here's a very weird effect in this movie where it is essentially every shot with an outdoor background is done on a green screen. It's clearly all done on a soundstage, and they're subbing in, you know, images of the Nile and images of Egypt on a soundstage somewhere. And it's very distracting. It's really annoying because this is a movie that, you know, is already kind of, look, all murder mysteries are kind of ridiculous. You have to set aside a fair amount of suspension of disbelief, right? And to add that level of artifice, that layer of artifice of the kind of fakey background on top of it it's almost a bridge too far. And this sounds like a small complaint, but it's something your brain picks up on because the shadows are all wrong, the light's all wrong. That said, look, this is a small, niggling little complaint. I really like the movie. I like the first one, Murder on the Orient Express. I enjoy watching fabulously attractive people like Gal Gadot and Armie Hammer and everybody else who's in this movie dress up in period clothes and you know, act. And I love Kenneth Branagh's scenery chewing.
The old theory is that movies are supposed to take you places you can't go. And this does that, doesn't it? A different time and a different age and a different place.
Yes, but this is part of the problem, right? This is what I mean when I say it. Like, it doesn't really take you there because it always feels fake.
Really? It's a clunky B movie when it comes to special effects.
Yeah. It
wow.
It's slightly disappointing. I have to be honest. For a movie, I mean, look, it's not an expensive movie. I think this movie only cost $40 or $50 million to make, which, you know, is not cheap. But it's not a huge $200 million film, right? So they're clearly cutting corners, and you know, one of the corners they cut is a lot of CGI work. Like they didn't, you know, it's not like they built a Karnak and put it on the Nile.
It is not Doctor Strange. When they walked in, they said, "You, you're fired. No more CGI for you." Sonny Bunch, you've got to listen to his two podcasts, Across the Movie Aisle and The Bulwark Goes to the Movie. Follow him on Twitter at Sonny Bunch. Read his reviews in The Washington Post. Come back next week for more. Extra dose of airline miles for Sonny Bunch. Tarzana Joe is next, America. Stay with us. Joined now by Tarzana Joe, the poet laureate of The Hugh Hewitt Show, laid low by the COVID, don't you know? How's he doing, Joe?
I'm better, not perfect. I'm down to like 2 coughing fits a day. The long cough, I think, is the persistent symptom of COVID.
So yes, it is. It's what my daughter had. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm fighting it off, but it kind of jumps up on your back quickly. So if anything happens,
can you rhyme during a coughing fit?
We'll see in a moment, won't we?
All right, go ahead, friend.
Policies change quickly now with all that we've been learning. I finally see how science works to get the tables turning. All people can be fooled sometimes, some people by what's trending, but everyone forever, well, seems that time is ending. Soon comes the explanation. It always seems the same. The damage is colossal, but no one is to blame.
Ha!
So how should we react to those who took control and kept it? Those while claiming competence who took our faith and left it? Should we respond with charity, the way my pastor mentions, assuming those who did such harm did so with good intentions? Or rather, absent malice, but by way of substitution, sate our long frustration with some righteous retribution? Patience is a virtue. That proverb's had a long... Sorry, it's a cough. Patience is a virtue. That proverb's had a long run. But in this kind of crisis, that sentence is the wrong one. Fear can make us hesitate, and we all fear the reaper. But every week we waited got us in the quicksand deeper. every state must legislate, no matter how it plays, that powers of emergency run out at 90 days. So come the next disaster, when precaution seems attractive, remember that it's also good to be a bit proactive. That's Scientific American by Tarzana Joe.
Joe, I love Scientific American, and I don't think that was a cop. I think that was just a blown read.
Okay, but I was trying to divest and divert.
You were trying to, we were trying to assign responsibility, but the blown read is still unique for Joe. That will be at TarzanaJoe.com, I assume?
Indeed, it's Jeff.
And you are open for business despite your coughing fits?
The busiest poet in America.
You can email him, TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com, and he will quote you a fair quote. Are you raising prices 7.5% today, Joe?
Oh, sorry. Now you cut me. No.
Is that a no or is that a yes? Did I go low?
No, but I'll think about it.
Okay. Go. Get your cough syrup. Tarzana Joe, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, Joe, feel better. Is Generalissimo in the studio this morning? Is he around?
Yeah.
Okay, you're there. Can we have the sound effect of Dwayne being thrown off of the cruise boat again, please, from yesterday? When Dwayne screws up, that's Dwayne going over the side of the cruise boat in France when we go in April. If this doesn't work technology wise, we're planning on it. But I thought we played that. We may have hit him too hard on that yesterday, because today he gave me 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 cuts of Joe Biden. What were you think? You gave me 11 cuts of Joe Biden. Were you that angry at me?
He's the president of the United States.
11 cuts of Joe Biden on a Friday.
And you played how many of them?
I'm going to play them all in the next segment. I'm going to make people listen to Joe Biden. I mean, they don't want to. Did you see his number? Are you trying to kill the show?
I'm trying to remind people of what they did.
No, you're trying to kill 11 cuts of Joe Biden.
Yes, I am. Yes, absolutely I am.
Here's my favorite, cut number 6.
Healthcare is part of Abigail, Congresswoman, your Congresswoman's...
Do you know why that cut is so spectacular? The whole reason he left the White House that day is to go campaign and stump for Abigail.
No, he's like throwing Abigail over the side of the boat right there. Because Abigail who?
He went there. The whole trip was planned to campaign and to help her out because she's in a tough re-election.
Spanberger is on every piece of Air Force One and Marine One paper, every
trip.
Document they give him, it's on his teleprompter.
Every briefing document, everything has her name on it. That's the reason for the trip.
It's like me and Archbishop Chaput.
He looks her right in the face and calls her Abigail Congresswoman.
Can we do that again? Cut 6.
Look, healthcare is part of Abigail, Congresswoman, your Congresswoman.
Not a clue. Not a blinking clue does he have an idea what her name is.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was the
three
whole
more
reason
years.
For the trip.
3 more years. And his approval ratings can't go any lower. He tied Trump. Only Trump had a bunch of people after 1 year. Nate Silver, 538. I said this on Special Report last night.
So, yes, gave you a bunch of cuts.
Cut number 26, please.
The worst first year of a president in American history. Bill.
I believe it.
Hugh, you believe it?
Yeah, it's getting to the point where even 538, the Democratic-leaning analyst, says the lowest approval rating is now tied down where President Trump was after 1 year. But President Trump had strong supporters, at least after 1 year. The new poll out today shows that 56% of Americans, 56%, cannot name one thing they approve of Joe Biden doing in the first year. My gosh, you got a puppy. It's 56% of the people who disapprove of him, by the way. CNN blew its own graphic. So I brought fake news to the news last night because of CNN. But I repent of my sin. Joe Biden hour because of Dwayne. Don't run away. Coming right at you on the Friday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.